What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, and joining us on the phone right now is Brian Scalabrine of NBC Sports Boston. Scal, how are we doing today, bud?
I'm doing good, man. That was like a throwback from when I was in high school, man. Yeah. I appreciate the, that's such a good song.
I remember.
How music isn't like that anymore.
I remember showing up at a middle school dance with me and all my corny, you know, seventh grade white friends. And that song came on and it was like a riot broke out in the gymnasium that day.
I mean,
it was one of those type of songs. Anyway,
that's
Scal.
A pretty good song.
Oh, it's a great song. What's that guy's name? Pastor Troy? Is that his name?
You're asking
I
me.
I want to say.
Is that it?
Yeah. Oh, Little Troy or whatever it is. Anyway, Scal, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, by the way, perfecting the art of fresh, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when the drains don't flow, and by findmassmoney.gov. Scal, Friday night, I was in the building. And I watched the Celtics get pile driven by Domantas Sabonis. They follow that up with just barely winning that game on Sunday. They got Toronto here now. Celtics are scuffling a little bit. What do you attribute that to?
I don't know. I mean, if you just take the analytic approach for 1 second, their defense in the fourth quarter has been atrocious, really, especially in those losses, right? Like, I'm talking like defensive ratings of 165. Defensive ratings of 137. And the only thing that has me so concerned with that is, okay, so if we're all convinced that you can flip the switch, which I guess I am because they have the most talent, even though what's been odd is with us whole, we haven't been good when everyone has been healthy. But let's use we'll say that they can flip the switch. Well, if you can flip the switch, shouldn't you be able to flip that switch in the fourth quarter and win games for us? So I guess I'm not like super panicking because – ultimately, 7-game series, talent wins out, you know, like that whole thing. But it is a little bit strange that when we want to try to ratchet it up and get stops, we don't. And a lot of it has to do, I think, with the start of the fourth quarter. Like, we have to have, I think, a more sense of urgency. But the numbers would play out everywhere else. It's relatively fine, almost normal, good first quarter starts. But, man, our fourth quarter defensive rating has been really bad in those losses.
We all know that Joe Mazzulla has a different perspective on a lot of things. He looks at things uniquely. Do you think he's enjoying this or appreciative of this journey that his defending champion team is on that isn't easy and is getting some criticisms lobbed their way?
Yeah, I don't know how anybody can enjoy, like, your team not playing up to par. I really don't. Like, I think – coaches are like, they live and die by every possession, you know, and, you know, he's always like, hey, man, it's all a process. We got to keep getting better. But Clearly we can see they're not really getting better. They're just kind of like going through the season. You want to say it's the dog days of the NBA that we can use that. But, you know, from the beginning of the season, I hope that bullseye is on our forehead, right? To now, it's like, it's a legit bullseye. Like, I watch all kinds of games and, so I'm going to watch a team, and then the next night or two nights later, I'll go watch that same team. And the level of effort is significantly less, and they'll be down by 20 to Charlotte or something like that. So I'm seeing it. You know, I'm seeing teams coming after us. But the thing is, I'm also seeing teams not afraid of us. Where I thought last year, you know, with those 50-point drubbings, 30-point drubbings, up by 25 in the first quarter and you're just like, you know, like, oh my God, I can't believe this team is this good. We're not seeing that as much anymore. I think this new wave of players or this group out there is like really excited about taking on the Celtics. And a lot of people I've heard, like announcers talking about like our environment, which is incredible. The Garden has been awesome this year. And I think it's having like an adverse effect on the opponent. We're expecting them to be intimidated, but they're just so excited that they're in an arena that has this much buzz.
We're talking with Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. Scal, the Celtics' three-point shooting and team percentage dropped recently down to about 36%. I think that's middle of the pack in the league. They're number one, obviously, in attempts, so that's one thing that's been steady this year. Certain individuals, though, have not been shooting the ball quite as well this year, and it's starting to look like it wasn't just, you know, an early season fluke. It's starting to look like maybe that's just the way it's going to go this year. What do you make of that? Guys like Hauser and some of these other guys whose percentages are dropping off, and how is that going to play into the way this team runs their offense going forward?
Sure. You know what? I think this is like the main reason, and I'm not going to blame Porzingis for this one. I'm really not. But Porzingis, can we both agree he's a versatile big?
Sure.
Inside, pick and roll, lob. When have we seen him roll to the basket for an alley-oop? Not in transition, but in the half court. We did it in the Oklahoma City first half, where we were just like rocking and rolling, right? And I know his points per possession are 1.1. Last year, it was like 1.3 plus. So when you post up Porzingis, his efficiency is a little bit down. But the way I would like to see us play, right? And this is all I can give you because I'm not at practice every day, nor am I like scouring over the films the way that they do, right? I just watch it like you guys and maybe go back and watch something like what happened during that fourth quarter because I might be into the game but not actually just be able to sit back and watch it, right? I think that we're just like force feeding Porzingis way too much. I liked what we did against New Orleans. Like we kind of moved him around. We put him on at the three, but it doesn't have to be everything ends in Porzingis when he's out there. Like I get it. Like at the beginning of the time when he came back, like let's get him going, you know, like go ahead, force feed the big fella. Let's get him going. But I think we're better. And I think he's better by like kind of mixing everything up. Let's go pick and pop. Let's go drive, kick, drive, kick, drive, kick. Let's go pick and roll, side pick and roll to a roll. And then, hey, you know what? Just to really demoralize you, we're going to post a big fella up once in a while. And I, you know, no different than the way that the Spurs used Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan would score like 15 points a game, and they'd be massive 15 points because all of a sudden Popovich is like, you know what? We need to throw the ball into the big fella. Let's do that. But outside of that, like he would go dribble handoff on the perimeter. He would do things short roll, kick it weak side. Like he would do – like he would – be a versatile big, and I just feel like, and maybe I'm the only one that feels this way, but, man, we are just force-feeding Porzingis every time he has a matchup, which kind of is taking everyone's rhythm away. You know, let's move the ball. Let's be one of that team that when every time they talk about three-point shooting, we go like, well, hey, man, we just move the ball and get the best shot. Well, we're not actually moving the ball and getting the best shot. We're throwing the ball into Porzingis. He might get a late double, and then we're just kicking it out to what you call like a semi-grenade where a guy's just casting up a three. We're better than that. We're just a better team than that. We don't need to just play that style, especially with our two best players, our versatile wings that can, you know, handle and run pick and roll. And that was the whole point last year of getting those guys to move the ball. So if you're asking me, and the numbers would show, like Porzingis' net rating has not been good since returning, I think we need to go back to just kind of like a more free-flowing offense with a sprinkled in a little bit of post-up.
So obviously we are disappointed in what the Celtics are. I mean, I was dreaming of undefeated at home type season. They got seven losses at home. So, you know, they haven't played as well as we've expected. But also part of that is in comparison to two teams that look like they might be having special seasons in Cleveland and OKC. At this point in the year, do we just have to accept that those two teams are really, really freaking good? Like, are you accepting that's who those two teams are, what their record says they are?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, like they have issues. It's like size, right? Like size for the Cavs. You know, they have to get through, if Mitchell Robinson comes back, they have to get through like getting beasted. Like those two slim forwards, who are awesome, by the way. Like Mobley's awesome. He's a future star, and he'll probably be an all-star this year. And Jared Allen is so underrated, right? So, you know, size-wise, they're just a little bit small, like per position. And then with Oklahoma City, you know, like, well, there's no doubt, amazing, like an amazing team. Look what they did to us defensively. But we also were up by 15 in that game, right? So they also scored 87 in the NBA Cup. So they are having great seasons, but they have showed us like signs of, they're not perfect teams. You know, it's not like they're the 73-9 Warriors who lost, or with Kevin Durant, like when they had KD. Like there are, or even us last year. Like they're good teams, unreal teams. But I think going into it, the playoffs start, I think the Celtics will still be the favorites on all the gambling websites. And I think that's kind of how I look at it.
Scal, along those same lines, right now there are only three teams in the East that are more than five games over 500. I think it's four in the West. The cream sort of rose to the top pretty quickly, I'd say, this year, and has kind of stayed there. Who are some teams that you think could make a push in the second half that haven't really made that much noise so far this year?
Yeah, so not fair to the Bucks, who are better. They're a better team now after that atrocious start. Not fair to the Magic, who have their two best players out, who really did a good job of treading water with Banchero and Franz Wagner out. So not fair to those guys. Not fair to the Knicks, because we won't know who the Knicks are until they get Mitchell Robinson back. Now, I don't know if Mitchell Robinson will be healthy, but Karl-Anthony Towns is a bona fide five man that could play some four, but they need like 18, 22 minutes a game out of Mitchell Robinson. So I think like you have to put those teams into that category as well. Everybody else, like Indiana, I'm not sure about. Like they could make a run. They're solid. But I would think the teams that you can sort of fear and say, like these teams, like especially since we don't look, invincible, like all those teams, if everything is going right for them, like they could definitely catch you.
Okay, we'll leave it right there then. Brian Scalabrine, thanks so much for the time today. We'll be looking forward to the call tonight against the Raptors. And Andy Hart will be talking to you next week. I don't know if you heard. Station Shakeup.
Yeah.
I'm going to be moving the nights. You're going to be talking to Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, and Fitzy from here on out. But it's been a pleasure, Scal, last 3 years talking to you.
Who was the other guy?
Ted Johnson, you remember him?
Yeah, I know Ted Johnson. You said 50?
Not 50 Cent is going to be joining the show.
50.
Fitzy, Nick Fitzy Stevens. Not 50 Cent, unfortunately.
I would take that.
All right. Yeah, if you ever want to come up and chop it up, if you ever come to a game, man, I would love to. Because I think I would love to talk to you more about basketball off air.
Absolutely. That'd be great. And okay. Thanks so much for doing these. We had a great time talking with you, and you'll keep it going with these guys going forward.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. That's Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. Him and Drew Carter would be on the call tonight for the Celtics and the Toronto Raptors.
You guys got some sort of relationship going on that
Damn,
I didn't know
Andy.
About?
Sounds like it. Sounds like it.
You going to go make out with him or something?
Well, I have to get a ladder, but yeah. it would be a whole thing.
Look, he was like, I'd like to talk off air.
Off air.
Yeah. Ken's a basketball guy.
I mean, I'm a hoop head. He did hoop say head. That. It was because, I forget why, it was in the old show, and we were talking about certain players, and I said something about Jalen Brunson, and Scal's like, who said Brunson? Whoever said that is a real hoop head. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Right
yeah,
here.
I
that's
got lucky.
Me. I didn't. It may have been like an insult. Look at this hoop head over here. Yeah, that was, we're just,
Wow.
Just sharing a brain. What do you want?
And he doesn't even know the Patino story.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I have to tell him
I'm
about
sure
that.
I'm not sure Arcan knows the Patino story but the way he had that
not.
Blank
Sorry.
Stare.
Well,
you mean that one
like,
I made up?
When you say Patino story, I think of the father immediately, not the son, I came over to trap on a half-court trap and stole the ball from.
Yeah.
And then took it back the other way for a layup. And my coach will call in and tell you that's a true story, by the way. He texted me the other day. Anyway, 617-779.
You're still living off it.
793-7 was the pinnacle of my athletic career, Andy. So, yes, I still am. By the way, that's a brave card for you to play, walking down the hallway with your old helmet on and your old starter
awesome.
Jacket. Come on.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. Here's Dan Ball with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Celtics hit the road tonight to play the Toronto Raptors. Tip-off is at 7:30. Boston is 28-11 on the season, while Toronto is 9-31. WEEI's Justin Turpin confirms that the Celtics currently have a clean injury report for tonight's game. In NFL coaching news, the Bears are conducting their in-person interview with Mike McCarthy this afternoon, their second known candidate to interview in person after Ron Rivera did did so on Sunday. The Jets have completed an interview with Broncos defensive coordinator Vance Joseph for their head coach position, and former Jets head coach Robert Saleh has head coach interviews with the Jaguars, the Raiders, and now the Dallas Cowboys. Also, longtime NFL special teams coach Mike Prefer is expected to finalize a deal to become the new special teams coach at North Carolina. He's worked in the NFL since 2002 and has been a head special teams coach from 2006 through 2022. The NFL playoffs continue this coming weekend, and WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. In hockey news, the Bruins were back in the win column last night as they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning at TD Garden 6-2. David Pastrnak and Pavel Zacha each had a goal and two assists, while Jeremy Swayman made a season-high 43 saves in the victory. Boston is off until Saturday afternoon when they visit the Ottawa Senators. And finally, the Red Sox have acquired 27-year-old catcher Blake Sable from the San Francisco Giants for international bonus pool money. Chase Shugart was DFA'd to create roster space for Sable. He hit 313 in 11 games with San Fran last season. He's played 121 regular season games in the MLB overall. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons with Arcan and Hart coming up right after this.